Chapter 22, Conclusion, by Michael Pearl. I have had many despondent-looking parents say to me, I have waited too long. My children are too old to train. It is true that the older children get, the harder it is to mold them. Yet no human being ever gets too old to have his actions conditioned, as military boot camps demonstrate. But only in a controlled environment, where the threat of force is real, can a rebel be brought to bay. When a child gets old enough to seriously contemplate leaving home, the power of discipline will lose its effectiveness. You may not be able to recover everything with a 14-year-old, but you can see such improvement as to make it seem a miracle. The 10-year-old is still quite moldable. The earlier you start, the better, but as long as they live, it is never too late. It is likely that one parent is going to read this book and revamp the training and discipline methods of the home, while the other may be content to continue with the status quo. Mother, if you decide to stop giving the children chances while your husband continues to play the threatening game, you will be tempted to have critical feelings. That will be your pride manifesting itself. Your bitterness at your husband and the obvious division that the children can detect will make matters worse. Your husband's pride will cause him to be even more resistant, lest he be the disciple of his critical wife and some unknown author. Let me illustrate this by rating child training on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best. Now, if a mother who rated 9, while her husband only rated 7, were to make the children aware that she was not pleased with their father's level 7 child training, the children would suffer more than if both parents were at a non-critical level 3, well below average. There is nothing more damaging to the children than a divided, contentious authority. Blessed is the child who has two parents who love and enjoy each other without criticism, regardless of the level of their wisdom to train children. Mother, if you know that you are the wiser one, a number 9, while your husband is a number 7, there is a way to train your children and not allow the differences to be apparent to the children. Mind your own business in child training and make your husband envious of your results. While your husband is away, be so consistent and thorough that you gain perfect, instant obedience from your children. Do not strive with your husband. Don't demand cooperation. Train them while he is gone. Spank them when he is away. They will learn that no matter how careless daddy is, mama is the law of God himself. Once you are in charge, when you see him failing to gain obedience at an appropriate time, in his presence, quietly command the children, and they will run to obedience. After several days of this, he will ask, "How do you do it? They don't obey me that way." Just humbly smile as you hold up the switch and say, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." Proverbs 29:15. Then demurely turn and walk away. He will become jealous, the good kind. If you are not critical, and only if you are not critical, will he want to know more of your secret. The change in your attitude towards the children, no more anger, no arguments, quiet control, will get your husband's attention and actually please him. However, if the only change he sees is that you are spanking the children more, and in equal proportions you are angry with him, he will think that this is just a hormonal imbalance that will hopefully run its course. Finally, reading back over the text, I recognize that I have given a lot of negatives, what not to do, and what is wrong. If I were simply giving instructions for laying out a flower garden, it could all be done quite positively. But if a surgeon is instructing student doctors on heart surgery, there will be a lot of negatives. A procedure so invasive requires cautious, narrow limitations with needful, even dire warnings. That which is successfully accomplished every day can end in tragedy if done negligently. Child rearing is an invasive procedure. You are invading the soul of a developing human being, an eternal living soul. It is not an inconsequential procedure. The whole heavens stand in the waiting room in anticipation of the safe delivery. If after reading this you feel frustrated and discouraged, don't attempt to implement these techniques. This is not something that can be tried or applied a little at a time. It shouldn't be started and then stopped and retried again. It takes insight and confidence to endure. If this is all new to you and you have some doubts, you will not make it through the trials. You should read it again and follow it up with our books, No Greater Joy, Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3. There is still plenty of time left in the lives of your children. On the other hand, if I have put into words the things you have known all along but have never been able to articulate, and these concepts are in your heart, and you are totally convinced of the rightness of what we have said, then by God's grace you will see results. Let me close with the words of a four-year-old. A family who had been applying these truths for only a week was visiting us in our front yard. Preparing to leave, the father called their new dog. The excited dog teased the man by running off just as he got within reach. The father became irritable and started speaking critically of the dog's intelligence. Pleading on behalf of the dog, his four-year-old son said, "But Daddy, you haven't trained him yet."
This is a production of No Greater Joy Ministries, Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Upon request, we'll send you a catalog of books, CDs, DVDs, and videos by Michael Pearl. Write to us at No Greater Joy, 1000 Pearl Road, Pleasantville, Tennessee, 37033. Or visit us and order online at nogreaterjoy.org.